Let me get this straight. I've got to get my pen and paper out here. You've you tried out for American Idol at one point.
Yes, I did.
How did I not? How did I not know this or catch this? How have you not? You've just let that slide in passing.
Well, obviously, the being here
means
I did not achieve my Grammy-winning notoriety that I had so hoped for, kind of thing. But yeah, it was in the summer of 2004.
Did you go?
We were in the break. I was having to do the math. This was over in St. Louis, which was it was at the time the Edward Jones Dome.
Yeah.
Where the Rams played.
Now it's just the Edward Jones Dome.
Well, actually,
no Rams.
According to the Google, it's now the Dome at America's Center. I guess so. It's been renamed or whatever, but
rebranded because the Rams are now in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Bad deal. So you go over there. 2000. This is summertime.
Yes.
So the
spring,
only,
summer. Yeah.
Okay. We go. The only
warm
reason
weather.
Is because I was going to say St. Louis in the summertime is brutally hot.
Yeah. So my roommate at the time, she and I were going to go over and audition. She is a much better singer than I am, and her schedule last minute changed. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go do it because I've learned at 42 years old, I like to do things by myself sometimes. So I drive over to St. Louis completely by myself, pack a sleeping bag, pack a suitcase, if you will, a carry-on type thing.
Did you have your guitar in the case like every...
No, I was all a cappello. And went and basically we lined the street of in front of this dome, got in line. You know, you're with 17,000 of your closest friends and fans.
That was
going to
be my next question.
And slept on the sidewalk the first night.
Is this required or is this something you needed? Do they come out and tap one unlucky guy on the shoulder and say, you're not in?
No.
So
this
you
is
just
what it was.
Sit there.
This was the line.
American Idol didn't say the first 3,000 people. They said all 20,000 of you are...
Oh, it gets better, brother.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I'll put my seatbelt on.
I'm trying to make it concise.
Yeah. No,
but,
you're fine.
So the next day, you know, you're just standing around waiting. You can't shower. You all that other stuff.
Tom Petty said it was the hardest part.
So you make friends with people around you and everything. And, hey, will you run to McDonald's, get this or whatever kind of thing. So
Was there any line jumping? Line jumping is not a sport at Kings Island.
So they said, we're going to start moving people in. They got on this loudspeaker and everything, and everybody rushes. So you, instead of having, you know, where you spread out your suitcase and your sleeping bag and everything, now it is bumper to bumper.
So it's a cattle call.
Exactly. Oops, we didn't mean to do that.
They didn't have the airport.
No, they did not have stanchions, anything like that. You were just on a sidewalk. So then after standing there, nose to back of head kind of thing for hours, they let us go into the dome. Well, it's kind of like the old assembly hall with the zigzaggy ramps and things like that. So we went in, and as we were going into the dome, they were giving numbers. So that was your audition number. I think I was like number 900,000, whatever kind of thing. Ended up sleeping another night, met more people,
had a
good time.
Wait a second.
Oh, it gets better.
You get there the day they tell you to get there.
Yes.
And they make you wait another day?
Yes.
So,
because this is a multi-tiered, multi-step process.
Oh, I understand
so
that.
So once you got in and everything, you got your... Then what they did was you slept another night. Then on day three, they
Where
had
did you
come
sleep?
On the concourse.
Inside the building. So I'm guessing the air conditioner was turned on.
So it was comfortable. Yeah.
The first night you slept on the street?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So then we got in and... they had us go in, and your number was where your seat was in the dome.
Okay.
So I actually...
And the Edward Jones Dome holds about 65,000 people. So
the number
of 1,000,
that's not too bad. I was down towards the front and everything.
Yeah.
We were... By the time they filled it with all the auditioners, it filled one complete half side of the dome. So 30,000 people were there.
Did it smell like Teen Spirit in
there? Yes, it did. Yes, it was that junior high smell that is oh so popular.
And no one had showered in 2 days.
So we go in there, they do all these filming and PSAs and stuff, and everybody's like, where's Ryan Seacrest and Paula Abdul and Simon Cowell and everything?
We have bad news for you.
Yes. So eventually, as you're sitting there on day three, you go... They were pulling us out. You went down on the field, and they took you across, and then we went into what I would call a hangar, which is where the team buses would park. And
did you
and
know that this would be a three-day project?
No.
Oh, okay.
I had taken like a couple days off, but I didn't know that this was okay. Because so finally I got in, and then they had this arch of about 25 conference tables, and there were two or three people at every one, and you were just going one after the other. Somebody was there directing. Exactly. You'd go up with two or three people, you'd sing for 30 seconds, 60 seconds, whatever, and those three people were the judge and jury. Okay, you go, you're gone, you're gone. And that was it. That was it. So I went up, I did my Hootie and the Blowfish with a little love, and they said, thank you very much. And 50-some hours after arriving, I never saw Simon or anybody like that. The process at the time was you had this massive cattle call of 30-plus thousand people that they whittled down to about 1,000 or so, that then they whittled down to about 50 or 60. Simon, Paul, and Randy weren't even in the state when I was there. They came like a week after. So if you did make it to the final round, you had to come back, basically, or you had to take a weeks-long vacation in order to get to that final round. So I had my 180 millionth of a second notoriety of fame when there's a pan of the St. Louis auditions in 2004. You see me.
Really?
Yes, with 30,000 other people.
In line?
And that, sitting in the stands.
Okay.
In the dome, because they did the big camera and they said, all right, everybody on the count of three, I'm the next American Idol. And the camera would swoop across and all that.
Wow.
So I drove home alone, shattered dreams, and...
You and 30,000 of your closest friends.
Yeah.
So you didn't know it was going to be a three-day project. I'm guessing by the tone of your voice, you thought you would have a little bit more.
I can keep a beat. I could keep a tune. I thought I would make it at least a little bit farther.
No, not even that. That you would have more of a chance to. I'm not saying you were going to get a whole song to sing. How much time did you get to?
Oh, 30, 45 seconds.
Okay.
You get a verse and a chorus kind of thing.
30 million people times.
Keep in mind also that this is at the very early stages of American Idol.
Before it was efficiently streamlined through the process.
Exactly. This is not long after Kelly Clarkson and
but could you imagine all the people that had to lose their jobs and families that put all their life savings into chasing this to come back to be the... Oh, I'm sorry. We're taking these two. This one goes to Hollywood. The rest of you, I'm sorry.
That was happening behind me. I will never forget the conversation of a father and daughter, and the daughter was all, you know,
it's her big day,
fashion photo kind of thing.
Yeah, glamour shots.
And dad was like, "You've got to do this, and we're counting on you." And this girl's like 8 years old, thinking, "Dad, you
have
to go get a job."
You have to be the breadwinner.
Yes, and it was just, and I have no idea how it shook out. And I also remember seeing some of the people who were there strictly for the fact of getting on the show, not because they had talent, but because they were so William Hung, and there was a guy that was dressed like
a
polar bear.
Has American Idol ruined more lives than it's made?
You know,
I would think from the gross numbers it's had to.
Possibly, but the thing is now...
No one put a gun to your head and said you have to go 50 hours and sit there and do all that.
Exactly. I had the good fortune. And at the time, it was one of the last opportunities I could because of my age. Because at the time, you
had
to be
cutoff?
28 or younger.
Oh, they changed that, didn't they?
Well, if they did, it's not... I mean, it's under 30. Now you have shows like The Voice and things where you can be whatever.
Oh, I get all those confused.
But American Idol...
They run together.
They do. So it was something, and
do you think anybody copies this morning program?
I'd love for them to.
Well, why? They can't.
There's if
they
could, they could try.
It's like Seinfeld. It's a
copy
show about
is the what's the biggest form of flattery. So yes, I did my American Idol audition.
Jim Inman, Jr.
One of those crazy things that I've done
now,
in my life.
Did they give you a tape or a video and say, "There you go"?
No.
I didn't know if you could get online and be like, "Here's your 20-second snippet."
Oh no, no, because you're just standing in front of 30 people that you have
Where
no idea.
Where did you? This was on the exposition hall floor in a studio.
In the hangar where they had
the buses.
Where all the buses? Yeah, you just walk in this massive.
Did they have
room?
Did they have a microphone? Or
nope.
Nope.
You just stand in front of a table.
And belt it out. Huh?
And you belt
naked as a jaybird.
You got it. Well, slightly
talented.
Yes.
From a talent standpoint, you got what you bring, and that's it.
That's what it was.
Yeah, you can't have the cheetahs running around jumping through the flames of hoop there. You got to be able to
they
sing.
They don't know that I sang back up to Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin Brothers in 1993.
There wasn't time to read your resume.
I sang on Memphis Beale Street, you know, got a standing ovation. I can hang sometimes. I got my 8-track Mind Love here in Bloomington. So.
They've missed out.
They missed out.
And now you can catch Jim on the Bloomington Review every
Friday. There you go. And occasionally on YouTube.
Produced by Ryan Seacrest.